Welcome, everyone, to True Believers, the Marvel MCU podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. My name is Kevin. I'm going to be one of your hosts today. I'd like to welcome our special guest back to True Believers, talking some Moon Knight. I'd like to mention Mr. Cat Cedar. How are you, buddy?
Woo! Well, great to be back, man. Love it. Can't wait to get into this episode 3. Woo, man.
Such dude, you're like rubbing your hands. You're excited. You got some stuff to say about this.
Dude, this was a beautiful episode. But
well, what's cool about this particular episode, and guys, first of all, we're talking about the latest episode of Moon Knight called The Friendly Type here. And as you know, we want to be careful and make sure that you guys know that there's some spoilers coming here. So just want to make sure. So here we are. This is True Believers Marvel MCU podcast number 48, and we are talking about the third episode of season 1 of Moon Knight called The Friendly Type. Now, Kat, we're missing someone here. Now, in this episode of Moon Knight, we got into learning about some of the other gods and their avatars. Well, the god known in Egypt as Taximus Maximus has taken Kyle as his avatar. And because it's tax season right now, Kyle's a little busy paying tribute and, you know, at the
paying his homage to his god.
Yes, Taximus totally Maximus. So yeah,
So that explains it. Now I know why he's not here. Now I know why it's just you and I.
Yeah, so he should be here next week. It'll be a little bit easier for him, but he will not be joining us today. So we miss you, Kyle.
If the fans vote that this was their favorite episode, I'm just saying.
Okay, we'll find that out. We'll find that out. let's not count the chickens before they're, you know, hatched and all that kind of stuff.
So or in Moon Knight's case, the scarabs before they fly away.
Exactly. Nice. All right. So, hey, before we go on, we'd like to remind people, you know, if you're a fan of the MCU and Marvel and all that, please join our True Believers Marvel MCU podcast fandom group. Just search it on Facebook and we'll get you in there and we discuss all things Marvel. So make sure that you get in there. So we don't have a lot of big news. I know we're excited about Doctor Strange coming out. Kat, did you get your tickets yet?
I have not, because I have an AMC theater and they have not actually started selling them, which is kind of odd because I even went in there. I'm like, can I buy mine now? And they're like, nope, we're not selling them until the day before. I'm like,
God, I miss AMC theater so much. Okay.
I'm going to buy an extra ticket just for you. And I'm going to bring that giant stuffed plushie I have of you with me. And I'll sit it in the chair next to me so you can watch it with me.
Cool. Not weird at all. I like that. Nope, that's great.
Not at all. I mean, come on. After 40 years, you know, what's it going to happen?
So, all right, by the way, just out of Marvel real quick, are you excited about the new Fantastic Beasts movie like I am?
Absolutely.
Nice. Dude. All right. Got some Potterheads in here. Yeah. Okay, so we don't really have a lot of other big news when it comes to Marvel right now, but I went by Target yesterday actually, and Spider-Man No Way Home is out on DVD and Blu-ray. Digital, yes, it is. Did you pick yours up?
Not yet.
Why not?
Financial issues.
Understood. It's, you know, it's streaming and stuff like that somewhere, I'm sure. But yeah. it's got over eight.
Well, hey, you know, I'm coming to Santa Barbara. I'm going to visit you there, and if yours is gone, you know why.
Okay, there you go. It says the blue. That's funny. Over 80 minutes of bonus content, including blooper and gag reel, Spider-Men Unite, alternate reality Easter eggs, a multiverse of miscreants, Enter Strange, and a meeting of the spiders, and more. So I'm actually excited about the special features on that. It'll be interesting to see that. So
sounds like some good features.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So as we move forward here, we do stuff a little differently here at the MCU podcast, True Believers. We don't have segments. No, we got phases. What's a phase, you say? Well, here's a phase.
Was that reference? Phase.
Yeah. Exactly. But we got phases here. So phase one, we got our plot description, our first reactions, and some cast comments. Phase two, we've got trivia. And phase three, we have the plot analysis where we do the ties to the MCU and comics, and that's where we get in our deep dive into the episode. And then we close out with phase four, where we get our episode final thoughts, any of nitbits we want to throw in there, and maybe some next week's predictions. So we will do that. But let's go ahead and get into the meat here. We've got episode 48 of Here of True Believers talking Moon Knight, season three. Season two, episode three, The Friendly Type. It aired this April 13th. It was 50 minutes. Kat, I've noticed that these Moon Knight episodes are like around, and this is including all the intros and
credits
and stuff, but we're getting like 50 minutes here and there. Yeah. It's not they like these 30-something minutes of like other shows.
Yeah, they did mention before they released the first episode that they were going to make these episodes a little longer than the regular shows because it's only six episodes long. So they wanted to put in some more filler for stuff. So people like you who've never seen it or me who are the diehard fan, they wanted to give us a little more than 40 minutes of it.
Yeah, it kind of fill out the show a little bit.
Yeah, so the extra 10 minutes really for...
Yeah.
Like we can put another 10 minutes in. Let's just,
I know.
It's not
right?
Over an hour, so we're good,
Well,
when
let's
get to an hour, we won't have to worry.
Yeah, I'm fine with the 50 minutes. It's cool. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get into phase one. For some reason, that one tickles me. I don't know why. All right. Let's get into the plot description here. All right. The episode opens with Layla getting a new forged passport by a friendly forger woman who knows Layla well and her archaeologist father who had died on an archaeological dig. Or did he? Layla recounts her recent events with Mark Spector and how she steals back stolen relics off the black market and returns them to their rightful owners. Most of the time. Harrow and his followers discover the location of Amit's tomb. In Cairo, Spectre and Grant both experience several unusual blackouts while tracking down a lead to Harrow's location. After they fail to obtain information for Harrow's followers, Khonshu causes a solar eclipse to call for a council of the Egyptian gods and their avatars, who summon Spectre to the chamber inside the Great Pyramid of Giza. That was pretty cool.
At least we know that there's not gum in there.
Yeah, I know. At least we know that it's that space underneath there is being put to use, It's just, So that's kind of good. Khonshu and Spectre attempt to inform the gods of Harrow's plan to free Amit. But the latter successfully denies the accusations when summoned. The avatar of the Egyptian goddess Hathor, Yatzil, tells Spectre to find the sarcophagus of Meje? That's how you pronounce that.
Meje.
How do you say it?
Meje.
All right. It's good for me. Who knew the location of Amit's tomb. He later encounters Layla, who takes him to meet Anton Mogart, an acquaintance of Layla who owns Meje's sarcophagus. However, the meeting goes awry when Harrow arrives and destroys the sarcophagus, forcing Spectre, Grant, and Layla to fight off Mogart's men and escape into the desert. Grant is able to assemble a set of fragments from the sarcophagus into an ancient star map, but the map is 2,000 years out of date. Crap. Khonshu uses his power to briefly turn back the night sky to resemble the map, allowing Grant and Layla to find the location of Amit's tomb. However, Khonshu is then imprisoned by the other gods, leaving Grant and Spectre's body unconscious and powerless. Uh-oh. All right, dude. First reactions to this episode. Go for it, Kat.
Dude, the time back, flashback thing, whatever they want to use, I absolutely loved it.
Wait, hold on. You mean that? Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Wayne's World.
Party on. Going back in time. Go ahead. Sorry.
Besides that whole Mr. Knight helping him do the turn back time thing.
I could turn back time. If I could say. Sorry. Go ahead.
Where's that mute button that I can find? Did they mute you as well? No, I absolutely love it, though. I mean, they had what we expected from last week, some more action sequences. They had two great action sequences.
Like the rooftop night fight and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The daytime running on top the rooftops in Egypt, mm-hmm. and then of course the big night fight at Mogart's place. And then they didn't do a lot of like what we thought they wouldn't. They didn't do a lot of the hey, here I am as Stephen Grant. Here I am as, you know, Mark Spector. They did a little bit of Stephen in the background,
right?
A switch to Stephen, a little bit of Mark in the background, and then of course the reference to hoping that it was, we are almost positive it's going to be Jake.
Okay, and yeah. So we're kind of teased to another persona here. So a quick question about Jake. Is he a guy that can take care of himself? Does he have skills himself? Tell me a little bit about Jake.
The persona of Jake is actually a cab driver in New York. And I want to bring a reference point that I just thought of that we didn't mention in the first two episodes, and I apologize. When you see Goldman, the guy in the gold statue paint and whatnot,
yes,
that's actually a character in Moon Knight called Goldie. Ah. He's an American guy, but uses a fake British accent, but he is one of Mark Spector's main information gatherers. And the same thing with Jake. Jake is an information gatherer. He knows a lot of the seedy underbelly, low-life scum of New York, you know, gotcha. The homeless district, the bar districts, you know, things that
he's got a lot of contacts. He's one of those guys that has to keep secrets to protect people too, I'm assuming.
Exactly. That's his whole thing.
Is he a likable guy? Like, will chicks dig him?
In the comics? Yes.
Okay.
The way they're portraying him, if it's actually him in the show, he is way more brutal than Mark Spector.
I mean,
from what we've seen, because Mark Spector didn't kill the guy that he had stabbed.
Oh.
He thought Stephen Grant did it. And Stephen's like, I didn't do it.
Okay.
So then when we flash to him in the street with Layla, the first time we see Layla, I had to go research this and I had to go look back myself and I couldn't remember. I'm like, it looks familiar. My mind didn't figured out until I watched it again. Jake is famous for wearing a Chicago hat, you know, a baseball hat, Chicago.
Okay, okay.
If you look at the hat that he's wearing when he's in the marketplace, he's wearing a Chicago hat.
Clever. Okay, okay. So they're teasing us. Real quick, go back to episode 2, I think it is, or 1 maybe. We believe it was Jake that asked out the hot girl at the museum, probably.
Yes.
Okay.
Mark is married and Stephen doesn't remember doing it.
You mentioned that Jake could be the more violent one. That doesn't make sense to me as a outsider It seems like that Spectre, since he's the special missions guy, he's the violent one, but I guess he's the violent one, but has limits. But why would Jake be the violent one?
That I can't tell you. The way they're using his character in this episode, if this is Jake, I have no really reason for you. It just seems like it's him.
Okay.
Because the hat. And the other thing I'd noticed is that if you listen to the way he talks in the marketplace, it's more New York sounding.
Okay. Cool.
Instead of Mark Spector talk, it's a little less New York.
And obviously, I like this. Okay.
Stephen is British, so.
By the way, real quick observation, I remember like when he was chasing the one knife guy and he shoves him up against the wall. But as he was pushing him and fighting up towards that wall, I saw that mirror going up. We're going to see Steven in that mirror. I just knew it and I called it.
Totally. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the knife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah, the knife was great. Yeah. Especially like when he's licking the knife, he gets punched. Yeah. Okay. So this had a big, this introduced something that was pretty big to, not just, you know, the MCU, but here in Moon Knight, we get the Egyptian God Council right under the big pyramid of Giza. When now we know what it's like underneath there. Looks nice in there. We get the avatars coming in.
That little girl was wrong.
Remind me?
The first episode, the little girl. Oh, there's nothing in there.
What does she know?
What does she know?
Okay, so. So we get basically, and there's a wonderful conversation prior to this where the young guy sacrifices himself off the cliff to not give up any information. And there's that funny conversation between Mark and Khonshu, and Khonshu's like, all right, you know, let me do something here. And he changes the lunar thing, and it gets everybody's attention and basically gets a meeting with Mark slash Khonshu, using Mark as his avatar and speaking through Mark to meet up with the council. And I think I got the right guy who starts the council, Hathor. I'm assuming that's who that is.
And I believe so, yeah.
You've been banished once for almost exposing us, and now we despise your garishness, your showy masks and weapons, but manipulate the sky again, and we will imprison you in stone. By the way, when he says you've been banished once for almost exposing us, I feel like that's like any secret organization ever, or like the Watchers in Highlander, you know, stuff like
Pretty much, yeah.
But I love it. I love it, but then it kind of bugs me, and I'll get into it a little bit later. But then Khonshu speaks through Mark and says, spare me your self-righteous threats. I was banished for not abandoning humanity like the rest of you. And then, you know, they kind of go back and forth. And then Mark says, I call for judgment against Arthur Harrow, conspiracy to release Amit. And then Arthur Harrow comes in and just basically like calls him on his multiple personalities, that he's not well. And
I'm wondering if Amit did something there so the other god wouldn't recognize that he's the avatar of Amit. I have a feeling there's something there that we either didn't catch
what well, she's doing. At the end of the episode, you get Harrow talking to Hathor, like wondering if Hathor is in it.
Yeah.
And protecting Harrow. So
that's a good thing too.
Yeah, there's that there. But this is a big deal. We actually see, and let me just say real quick, I love anything Egyptian-y, you know, and you know, whether it was stuff from Stargate or whatever, I love this type of stuff. What was your thoughts on this whole Egyptian God Council?
I love it. And I love all the, I mean, I'm a big fan of the Egyptian mythos. You know, being a big fan of Bas myself, obviously. Not that I want to throw that out there. But
wait. A big fan of who?
Bast.
Who?
The Egyptian goddess cats.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Also, she's also the panther goddess for Wakanda and Black Panther.
Okay, hot, gotcha.
But Bastet is also the other name she's known as. But Bast is. But I love the Egyptian mythology. I love everything they've done. I've been looking for all the little symbols in the backgrounds, and I paused it when I'm watching it to see if there's any little like, you know, glyphs or runes that we could see, that that's that symbol, oh that's the bird, or that's the hawk, or, you know. So we've seen a few, but for Egyptian mythology, I think that's why I'm so drawn to Moon Knight, because he's Egyptian mythology himself.
Yeah, it's always been a culture, and these pyramids have always been like, you know, one of these wonderful wonders of the earth, and they're just so cool. And I think that and that set piece inside the Pyramid of Giza is just gorgeous. Beautiful. You know, I just kept thinking, like, you know, where's Nick Cage in National Treasure 3 right now? You know,
I would have thought you would have said with Indiana Jones, but okay,
I'll get to that later. I'll get to that later. So, I want to talk about this article. We love our friends at Den of Geek, and I always go to them because I always write great articles, and they bring up some great points too. And we got a new one by Kristen Howard. Says the friendly type. Moon Knight episode 3 takes some wild but messy risks. So, goes on to say, the third episode of Marvel's Moon Knight's The Friendly Type winds up feeling like a puzzle-solving diversion for the most part. And that's a bit frustrating considering there are only 6 of these bad boys in total, and we're halfway through them by the end of it. But we do get to learn some key information about Mark Spector and Layla during the events that play out. So it's not a total loss. We begin by focusing on Layla, Mark's estranged wife and Khonshu's preferred choice for a new Moon Knight avatar. Layla is getting ready to re-enter Egypt after a decade away, and she briefly touches on what happens before she left Egypt. Her father died on a dig, but Layla has precious little information about what exactly happened on that fateful day. If you're a fan of the Moon Knight comics, this will probably be the full confirmation you needed that Layla is the MCU's reshaped version of Marlene. You may also have some idea of what happened to her father. So, Kat, my question for you is, it's a two-part question. Are you fine with this Layla character being this new version of Marlene, or would you have just preferred Marlene be Marlene?
From a comic book standpoint, I'd rather it be just Marlene. But from the way they're doing it in the TV show and sort of integrating her as the Marlene character, I have no problem with it. I think she's doing a great job paying tribute to the character from what I can see and what I've read. But okay. I think she's doing a great job.
So she mentions in this article, you may also have some idea of what happened to her father. For us that did not read the comics, Kat, what happened to Marlene's father?
Bushman killed him. So in the comics, he was on a dig. They were in Egypt. And part of Bushman's ending after they found what they were looking for, he kills Mark Spector and all of the scientists that are with him, including Marlene's father.
Interesting.
Who was one of the Egyptologists.
I'm wondering if we're going to get a he's not really dead scenario, or he is, but we find out and it's devastating. Of those two options, what do you think will happen? What do you want to see?
Who's really dead? Her father?
Yes.
My
question is, are we going to find out who actually maybe killed her? Or, what do you think?
Well, the way they
or killed him, sorry.
The way they've led it so far that we saw, I think it was episode 2, that there were many people that were killed on this expedition, that it seems like Mark Spector did it. And that's what we're probably going to leave it with that.
You might However, learn maybe Harrow had a hand in it, maybe.
That's what I'm thinking. Harrow had a hand in it. Or, and this could be a twist from comic to movie because of adaptations and whatnot, Midnight Man could have done it on the voice of Harrow, or from Harrow to Bushman, who we may see maybe in the end credits.
Okay,
or an cool end credit scene somewhere.
And of course, Midnight Man is the new character that we meet in this episode.
It is.
So she goes on to say, Mark thinks the other gods and the Avatar should be summoned to take stock of Harrow's plans to raise Amit, but Khonshu isn't too sure about the plan, mainly because he can't stand him and they'll be eager to impress him. Still, Khonshu brings about an eclipse to catch their attention, and Mark makes his case, which requires him to be possessed by Khonshu. I'm just going to say it now. Do you kind of wish Khonshu voice came out instead of having Oscar Isaac kind of do the
It should have been Khonshu. I should have been F. Murray Abraham.
You got F. Murray Abraham. Let him go ahead and say it, right?
Yeah, use him. I did notice one thing. I don't know if you caught this or not. I just thought of it right now while I'm talking to you, that when when he does the eclipse, do you remember what Harrow says to his follower?
He says that he may be summoned, or he may have to go somewhere.
I'm going to be summoned soon.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. So I wonder again if he knew what was happening, maybe the other god.
Yeah, he saw that going, Khonshu is up to his tricks. Guys, you keep digging, I'll be right back.
Yeah, pretty much.
Goes on to say the scene is one of the wildest MCU has ever dared give us, treading a truly wobbly line between funny and unsuitable when paired with the unsettling nature of Harrow's defense. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Love that dodgeball reference. The show is clearly not afraid to go for broke in pursuit of its vision, but it was frustrating to watch, not just because of its uneven tone or because of its confrontation with Harrow in front of the god should have been a slam dunk, but also because it was gaslight o'clock with Harrow using Mark's DID as a weapon. The whole scenario also kind of proved Harrow's point that maybe some people shouldn't be taken out of the equation before they commit an atrocity, not after as the gods demand, but by some people, I mean his diabolical ass. So I think she kind of, I was listening to a podcast about a reaction on this, and she kind of says the same thing in this article, that they kind of maybe wish it played out a little bit better.
They could have done a little more with it, absolutely. And again, the episode probably would have been more than 50 minutes if they had done that. So they sort of had to, I think, snip a little bit here, snip a little bit there, give you enough action that you're like, ooh, I need more, and enough drama and plot to give you. But yeah, they could have easily done another like 5, maybe 10 minutes just in the courtroom area, you know, to
Failing to get the gods on side, Mark is forced to find another way to move forward. He reunites with Layla, who pushes her away emotionally before they attempt to acquire the sarcophagus clue under the watchful eye of the notable thief and Marvel villain Midnight Man, a.k.a. Anton Mogart, the late Gaspard Ulliel. Things fall apart quickly. Layla and Mark end up battling Anton and his goons. It allows us to get a better picture of how badass both Mark and Layla can be, and therefore why Khonshu has become so keen on Layla being Mark's successor. Harrow also toys with exposing a big secret that Mark has been keeping from Layla, and I assume we will get more clarity on that later from Mark himself, since it appears to be weighing on his soul quite heavily. Do you think that Mark may have had a hand in her father's death? Maybe not directly. Is this what's going on here, you think?
I think he's holding the fact that he knows that who killed her father, but doesn't want to tell her.
Right.
For some reason or another, maybe he'll think that she'll go after that person. Cause again, it could be a higher powered villain than Harrow or so. I think that's why he's holding it back. I don't think it's
okay.
Cause I did it. I helped do it.
Kristen goes on to say, ultimately it's Steven who becomes the key identity, helping to turn back time on the night. Turn back time. Sorry.
Where's that mute button? I'm still looking for it.
To turn back time on the night sky to pinpoint the location of Ahmet's tomb. Khonshu helps Steven complete the task, knowing he will be imprisoned in stone by the gods for doing so. After a pretty well-paced and character-focused episode last week, the friendly type was a step back. Now that we've gotten to know Steven, Mark comes across a little bit of a tool and is a little hard to root for. The Midnight Man fight was also pretty underwhelming, never really making enough of Anton's character so that he was anything more than the end of a level boss that Mark and Layla had to beat up to solve a silly map puzzle. How will Mark, Steven, and Layla fare in their quest without the protection of Moon Knight? I'm looking forward to finding out. Hopefully there will be a bit more momentum in episode 4, and Kristen gives it a rating of 3 out of 5. So this one took a step back for her, Kat. I believe that you feel differently. You're really excited about this.
Yeah.
But, you know, is that the last that we're going to see of Midnight Man? Was that it? You know, we just get the fights with the horses and the spears, you know.
Again,
defend that for me here.
If we're going by the comic book, absolutely not. Midnight Man was the thief, tried to help, ended up wanting to become work with Moon Knight, and then ended up fighting him, and then becoming the bigger thief he is, and ended up fighting against him several times.
Okay.
In the comic, he's one of Moon Knight's main adversaries, I guess would be the word. Is that the last we're going to see of that character in the show? I highly doubt it, because like most movies and Marvel Universe stuff, you kill someone, they're not always dead. And we didn't see him fall off the horse. The character itself has a great resilience to physical, you know, combat stuff, because we saw him training in the Egyptian fencing style he was doing.
Gotcha.
So being hit in the back with a kunai or a dart that Moon Knight threw at him probably did not kill him. And I'm hoping, sorry for the fact that we lost the actor, but somebody else stepping into the role of Midnight Man, because he'll be wearing a mask, so we won't see his face.
Right, right.
That well, he can still be Midnight Man later on in other episodes.
I'm glad you mentioned the Egyptian martial arts things with the horse and the spears. Apparently that is like one of the oldest on the planet, and they've been doing that since the way, way back in the day. So, yeah.
Before we were around.
Yeah. So let's get into the cast real quick. This episode was directed by Mohamed Diab. You know, we get a little more of Layla in this. And of course, Gaspard Ulliel, who plays Anton Mogart, we finally get him in here as well. We get Barbara Rosenblatt, who plays the Forger. Liked her. I thought she was kind of cool.
Yeah.
From the newer members that popped into this episode, Kat, what's your thoughts on a couple of these? Any stand out for you?
I loved Anton. He was great as Mogart. Again, sorry that he passed. I have a feeling that we might see the Forger again, because in the comics, the Forger is actually not a woman, it's a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Liberty's, you know, they can do whatever they want with the show. But he's an integral part of Moon Knight's, hey, I need to go to here or there as, you know, this character or that character. Or Stephen Grant needed an ID to go to, you know, yada, yada. I need it now, though. That character has been around for a bit. So I'm hoping we see them again, either maybe in the next season or maybe as another episode, like, oh, I need to go back to Egypt or I need to go somewhere, you know, hook me up with an ID. So I like the character. I loved her, how she was talking about her dad. And yes, she may know something. So maybe yes, Mark Spector told her that, yeah, I was there when he died. This is who killed her. Don't tell Layla, though.
Right. So yeah, I love that Layla and the Forger obviously are fond of each other and know each other well. And I just thought that was a great opening scene to set up Layla's character and her background a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And I'll get into her a little bit later in the show. So, let's go ahead. We got phase two here. We got some trivia here. So let's check this out. So as I mentioned, this episode marks the first appearance of Anton Mogart, played by Gaspard Ulliel. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right. It's a tough one. It's Ulliel. Yeah, and this episode
would be my guess.
What's that?
Ulliel would be my Ulliel guess.
Yeah, I like that one better. Ulliel. See if I can remember that. The episode is dedicated to the memory of Gaspard Ulliel, who portrayed Anton, Midnight Man, who died a few months before Moon Knight premiered following an unfortunate skiing accident in January of 2022. And this was his last project. The scenes where Anton Mogart is riding a horse were done by Gaspard Ulliel himself. The actor had learned how to ride a horse when he played Henry Duke of Guise in The Princess of Montpensier in 2010. Moon Knight's director, Mohamed Diab, told that knowing how to ride a horse was one of the reasons why Ulliel was cast as Anton. And another little interesting thing here, the name Rufino Estrada is given as an alias for Mark. Estrada is Isaac's real last name.
Mm-hmm. No relation to Eric. Cool.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, he's not a Chip.
No, he's not a Chip. He may be a Dale, though, but not a Chip.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. All right, guys. We got coming up after the break here, we've got plot analysis in phase three. And we also have that's where we're going to dive deep into this episode because we got some more stuff to talk about. And then we'll also close out with phase four with our final thoughts in next week's edition. But first, we take a quick break from our True Believers Marvel MCU discussion and let you know what other great podcasts are here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to these other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, discussing the latest in entertainment pop culture. Blood of Kings, Immortals Take Notice, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theaters, where we celebrate our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie and TV pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville show. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our show covering the time-traveling Doctor Who universe with host Dan Hadley. Lethal Mullet, an 80s and 90s action film podcast with host Adam P. O'Brien. Also check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast with hosts Scott, Derek, and Nathan. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, a deep dive into the final frontier with hosts Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. And check out our newest shows, The Fandom Show, our monthly Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube exclusive show about the month's hottest topics in fandom, and the FPN True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the related Marvel television and streaming MCU universe, including the connections to the original Marvel comics. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on several platforms. Please subscribe to the Fandom Podcast Network YouTube channel to receive notifications of new podcast episodes and live events. You can enjoy all of the Fandom Podcast Network audio podcasts on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. Fandom Podcast Network is on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and iTunes. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom. All right, welcome back to True Believers. This is episode 48. We are discussing Moon Knight Season 1, Episode 3, The Friendly Type. And we are heading into Phase 3. I swear that one, for some reason, just tickles me, Kat. I don't know what it is about that face.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you either. You know, I want to mention something. I just realized this. When you say the Alfred Hitchcock one, I love how you sort of emphasize "good evening."
Of course.
I don't. You don't do it for any other one. Just that one.
Good evening.
Did you try to do a Alfred Hitchcock impersonation there?
Yeah. It was bad, wasn't it?
It was. moving on.
Okay. All right. Okay, so this is where we have our open discussion about the plot analysis, and then any if there's any ties to the MCU and comics. So I want to actually go to the ties to the MCU first, because you reminded me of something, and you have down further in the notes regarding a certain place that was mentioned. And please elaborate.
Madripoor. That ties in to actually two things, but the thing that was most important, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Uh-huh. Where did they go? They went to Madripoor. Madripoor is famous for black market dealings, art dealings, and other stuff as well. It's also a place which, I don't know if they're going to do this, which would be a stretch, but Wolverine is famous for being in Madripoor as well.
Ah, okay.
I don't think they'll do an X-Men tie-in. Moon Knight, not
really. Wait a minute. I remember during Falcon Winter Soldier, everyone was like, oh, are we going to be teased to the Wolverine and the X-Men? Yeah, I remember that. That was a big disappointment.
And Moon Knight is not famous for associating with them at all, really.
Gotcha. So okay.
I don't think we'll see it, but Madripoor is definitely huge. We may see, because in Falcon Winter Soldier, the leader of the black market rings in there is Sharon Carter.
Yeah. Okay.
Carter, Winter Soldier, Falcon, Moon Knight. I mean, Midnight Man could be working for her as well, because he's an art thief. So there's a lot of tie-ins right there. And I'm like, woo, Madripoor.
Okay. So we actually have a tie to the MCU there. It's been a little scarce thus far with Moon Knight, which isn't a bad thing, but it's nice.
Like Kyle said, MCU, Moon Knight. You know?
Yeah.
He's his own little. Moon Knight is Moon Knight, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Daredevil, MCU, those guys. You know?
Yeah, kind of more street level, I guess, but.
Very street level.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, plot analysis real quick. We've kind of touched on a lot of that already, but this is where we get background of Layla a little bit. And then, of course, we get the Egyptian God Council, what Khonshu can do to get someone's attention. we get Hera defending basically putting Khonshu / Mark in his place and putting this mental issue on him, so anything that Khonshu / Mark says is doubted, which is a smart move. But we do get in the end, though, that Hera seems to be working with someone, one of the guys there, one of the avatars, so we don't know how much power, but it makes sense that if he has some control over some of the avatars to get what he wants, that's going to present a problem. And so, you know, we get some great fight scenes there, as we mentioned, but we get Khonshu basically banished, so to speak, and that gives Mark no powers of Moon Knight. Mm-hmm. And then we see Mark with Layla, and the tension is there a little bit. So that's a little bit about what we see, what goes on. Was there anything that we had with ties to the comics that you wanted to bring up? You've touched on some already, but I want to make sure if there's anything that we didn't that we missed.
Not about that particular thing. In the comics, Moon Knight has lost his powers from Khonshu before, mm-hmm. but still did his same thing.
Okay.
Still fought crime, still did everything. He's still, for the Marvel comics, they still have what's called peak human perfection. Captain America, peak human perfection.
Right.
Daredevil for fighting and other things, peak human perfection. Moon Knight is in that same category. So
Hold on. I get where you're going, but how is he when he doesn't have his suit with powers, though?
Doesn't heal. Doesn't have the ability to... Well, the suit's a little different than the comics, because there's more gadgets in the comics. But from what I'm looking at, he'll probably lose his healing power, which he even mentioned. He'll probably lose his ability to pull out those his crescent darts, because that looks like it's part of the Moon costume as well.
So basically, he has to use his normal Mark Spector / Steven / Jake skills.
I would say Mark Spector / Jake skills. That wasn't really safe. I mean, come on. You saw what happened when he changed into Mr. Knight in the fight against Gaffart.
We're gonna touch on that in topic three, but I want to hit, because that's a good point. Let's hit topic one real quick. And I was listening to another podcast, and I've heard this elsewhere, that and some people are a little disappointed. Some people are cool with it. I kind of want to get where you are here, where Moon Knight seems, the series seems less more than Moon Knight himself, but more about Oscar's other personas, Stephen, Mark / possibly Jake, and how they're dealing with everything. We're getting real. And this is a good thing, because we're getting really good character development, but Moon Knight seems to be more of a tool. And we're getting more, and this is giving a chance for Oscar to really show his acting skills.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal. Are you happy with this direction, being the big Moon Knight fan that you are? Well,
Moon Knight is a tool of Khonshu. That's what he is. Moon Knight is a tool of Khonshu's in the comics as well.
But we're not getting, but if you think about all the time that we've seen of Moon Knight being used compared to what Oscar is, it's a fraction of the time that we spent in these first 3 hours.
Yeah.
Are you cool with that?
I'm absolutely cool with it. I love the way that the actor is doing it. I love the way he's bringing forth all the two characters that we've seen, technically. We haven't actually seen Jake yet, but we've seen Jake. But yeah, I'm absolutely cool with it. I love everything he's done. Like I said, he's definitely made a fan out of me when I wasn't a fan to begin with.
That's a good point. And I'm actually a fan with this as well, because when we do see whatever version of Moon Knight summoned, it doesn't feel like it's overplayed, and it just comes in, it's effective and it's entertaining. And so I really enjoy Oscar Isaac's doing the different personas in this.
Yeah,
he's just phenomenal and such. So, okay. Topic two. Layla, star of this episode. I'm going to say that's what it is. She seems like she is the star. She shined. And we're also understanding why she might be a preferred avatar than Mark Spector for Khonshu.
She's not broken like he is.
Exactly. And also, Mark says to Layla that he's been able to keep his disorder under control until now, when she questions, like, why don't I know about this?
Right.
And then we get this weird attitude towards her. He's kind of rough to her. He's kind of a dick, basically.
Gee, I wonder if he's hiding something.
Exactly. And so, first of all, talk on to Layla a little bit here and how she's been highlighted. Your thoughts?
I think, like I said, going from reading the Marlene saga, comic of side of her, she's doing a great job. They've done a very good job with bringing her character, not quite full circle yet, because I think there's some more stuff we want to learn about her and the reasons why Khonshu really wants her, besides being Mark Spector's wife and her ability to kick butt, as we saw.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's some more that we haven't seen yet. And hopefully in the next episode or two, we'll get some more, like, you know, like maybe like when they do the flashback of her father being killed, maybe we'll see something there that will sort of like, oh, that tied it all together. Excellent.
Okay.
Other than that, I think she's doing a phenomenal job. And I also want to put out one thing. I think Khonshu is already influencing her to be the next Avatar. Because if you noticed her necklace that she was wearing.
Yeah. Little weapon there.
A moon.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The moon is, you pulled it off, like, just like Mark does, and then stabbed that one guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah. When there. I saw that necklace, I'm like, yeah, I wonder if that's going to come into play.
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, it's just, it looks like a crescent moon to me.
Yeah.
Snap.
Yeah, good point.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There it is.
Good point. The other topic I had, topic three here, Steven's skills are actually needed in this episode. And Steven seems to take on the Mr. Knight outfit. And then Mark takes on the Moon Knight. Hold on. For those of us just listening, Kat just gave kind of a face palm here. So I want to get your thoughts on this because not everyone is cool with this. Okay.
Oh, I'm cool with it. I'm just running the fight through my head again.
Oh,
and he changes into Mr. Knight. It's just like, no, take over. I don't want to be here.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, well, that's what they seem to be doing, Kat. I need to ask you about that.
Giving and taking.
Okay. Hold on though. So we don't see Mark take on Mr. Knight and be Mr. Cool Mark or Jake for that matter. Maybe we will, but we actually see the more insecure, friendly Steven seems to be taking on the Mr. Knight while Mark takes on Mr. Moon Knight, total Moon Knight badass. It seems like that's what they're doing, but Steven seems to be becoming a little more sure of himself. Your thoughts on what they're doing with the Moon Knight costumes?
Again, with the Mr. Knight and Moon Knight costumes, they're doing it. What I think is that Steven in the comics is very sure of himself. He's a rich playboy, philanthropist, Bruce Wayne for those DC fans. So I think through help with Mark and talking with Mark or Jake, we don't know yet, that he does seem to be getting a little more like, hey, I'm a useful part of this group. Let me help. Let me do what I know, which is, you know, Egyptian lore, knowledge, everything that they're going to be needing for this episode. And Mark's like, okay, I don't need to be this guy. I don't need to be me because I know nothing about, this. I know how to kill you with a toothpick or a pencil, but Egyptian runes and what? Yes, I threw that one in view.
Nice. Okay. You wanted to talk more about the fractured mask, though?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. I think this is important because it kind of lends to what we were just discussing.
Anyone who read the comics with Mr. Knight knows Mr. Knight has a perfectly clean white mask. No scar down the middle and no scar on the side. I have a suspicion that because Stephen Grant is DID and is having the issues with Mark in the beginning, the first episode and second episode, we see it a lot. I think this is the reason why they went with the fractured mask look for Mr. Knight with the scar down the front and off to the side. I like it. At first, I was like, I need my traditional, give me my white mask. But now that I'm watching it and I'm learning about what they're doing in the episodes with his fractured identity,
okay,
the fractured mask makes perfect sense.
Good point.
So I think my cosplay is going to be the fractured mask.
I got to tell you, the fractured thing, it looks pretty cool.
It does.
I love it.
Now that I've been looking.
Yeah. I think it's great. I had some other notes. We mentioned Indiana Jones earlier. I'm totally getting an Indiana Jones vibe with the series.
Absolutely. I'm waiting for an episode when we see the arc somewhere in the background. I know we're going to see something like an arc. I'm like, oh, there it is. All right. Kevin saw that.
You know, Indy knows Cairo very well. He's been there.
Couple times.
And it's just a great setting for a type of thing. And also, too, we get a little bit, of course, that in The Mummy a little bit, too.
Yep.
You know, The Mummy series.
Yeah. I like the Mummy series.
Oh, yeah, me too. Absolutely love it.
A lot of people didn't like that. I don't know why. I'm like,
no, I love that Mummy series. It gave me my Indiana Jones fix when I didn't have it at the time, you know?
There you go.
So when Mark walks into the chambers for the gods there, he's first greeted by Yatzil, the Avatar of Hathor. Hot! I guess she's the Hathor, like, likes music and stuff like that. Did you get the kind of feeling that like she might have been kind of flirting a little bit, or like they had something going on?
Oh, sorry. What? Absolutely. I think there was mention of it in actually somewhere that Hathor and Khonshu.
I'm curious if this avatar for Yatsil is going to come into play later, maybe be an ally. Kind of curious about that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think whoever also likes the character, not the character, the god who's friendly with the god will also side with that god against the other gods. I'm thinking that's what's going to happen, something like that. They're going to be like, did you watch Lucifer season, the final episode of Lucifer?
No, no. My fiance Erin did though. She loves that show.
You need to watch it.
Cat just mimes slapping me upside my face because I haven't watched Lucifer. It's one of those shows I'll definitely go back and just like, binge the whole freaking thing. So yeah, but anyway,
it's worth watching. But anyhow, so there's the end scene for those spoilers again, for those who haven't seen it. It's Lucifer, his brother, and like one other person helping them. Another god.
Okay.
Another angel. And then it's against all the other angels. So I have a feeling. And then he's like, what? They're talking. And they're like, oh, wait, let's listen and join Lucifer now. So then it became half and half. And then, so I think it's going to be a similar kind of thing. It's going to be Yaxel and Mark Spector versus them. And then someone else will, like, you know, I'm actually going to follow Yaxel or Hathor, and I'm going to join this side now. So it's like,
okay,
4-on-4. And then, of course, the ninth one will be the last one to decide what's going to happen.
Okay, Kat, I got one thing here that I may keep bringing up in these episodes of Moon Knight. It's called my Cat Moon Knight fan check. Do you know what that means?
No, I don't. Where's that one? I missed that on the list.
It's under my additional notes there.
Oh, okay.
The reason why I brought it up is because we're halfway through right now.
I know.
You are the biggest Moon Knight fan that I know. And you've proven it to me even before this darn show was ever mentioned. Okay. That's why you're on here. That's why you're on this, because we need
you. I thought it's because you love me.
But I need to ask you, and I need you to be completely honest with yourself, because there's been some criticisms about the show from hardcore Moon Knight comic book fans. Are you, first of all, still a fan of this Moon Knight TV series, and do you like the changes and the creative differences they are going with?
In a simple word, yes. Like the way they're doing it. I like what they're doing. I like the way they're changing the character for the MCU universe. I like how they represented him in his two stages we've seen. And I like just the arc they're going with it. The whole, he's DID, which we already knew about. He's struggling with his disorder, struggling with Mark Spector, struggling with Moon Knight, struggling with Mr. Knight, now incorporating Jake, arguing with Khonshu. I'm just enjoying, as if I had never seen or heard about Moon Knight, I'm enjoying it for everything they've done and sort of turning off my mind of what I know about Moon Knight and going, okay, they could have done that. They could have done this. They didn't do it. That's fine. God, this show is so good.
That's good to hear.
I'm enjoying the show.
I love the approach that you're taking because for people that are as passionate about something like you, specifically where it's being drawn from the comics, see what I did there? Drawn from the comics.
See? Yeah, I got it. For those of you who didn't see it, he made a hand mime. Just in case you didn't, I'm not watching this.
For those of you drawing from the comics and not getting exactly what you want, I like that you are open to what they're doing and you're enjoying the show. And, you know, I have to do that a lot, you know, like with Ready Player One, the book was so good. I had to put my fandom in check when the movie came out, because I knew it wasn't going to be anywhere near as good as it, but I still enjoyed it as a movie and the creative differences that they did.
I still would like to have seen the joust scene, though.
Yes, I agree with you there. But, you know, I went through kind of a fan check when it came to Star Wars at a certain time in my life, where not all Star Wars has to be good Star Wars, but all Star Wars fans can enjoy Star Wars for what they get from it, you know? And so I just wanted to double check and see where we are with that. That's good to hear. So before we get out of this deep dive here in phase three here. I just wanted to, was there anything else that we haven't mentioned that you wrote in your notes that you wanted to bring attention to this episode?
I think we got everything. I don't think I missed anything on my notes.
Besides, Kat is actually looking at handwritten notes right
yes,
now.
Yes, I have handwritten notes, people. My first time, I've been on this podcast a dozen times, maybe now, or close to a dozen times, never had notes. I actually wrote notes because the episode was so good. And I saw stuff that I wanted to add.
Kat actually texted me saying, dude, I love this episode. I actually wrote notes.
We mentioned about Jake. He mentioned why I think it is him.
Okay.
From the comics. We mentioned the Thai Bast being part of, in the Giza, because you see the giant panther statue. So that leads to Black Panther. We're happy about that.
Okay.
We talked about Madripoor and Sharon Carter. I think I got it. Okay. The only thing I didn't mention, which I did love as well, one of my absolute favorite scenes of this whole episode, is when he jumps over, opens his cape, does the moon crescent cape shape.
Yeah.
And then lands and wraps her up and protects her from the bullets.
That was loved. Really cool.
That is his famous, that's his signature move. Jumping from awesome. The rooftop, cape open, crescent shape, landing.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
And I do want to make one note. I forgot to mention this
what's
last
up?
Week. Do you remember in the episode 2 at the end when they're fighting in the street and Steven finally gives up to Mark and lets him become Moon Knight? If you look closely and you watch when the fabrics are interchanging from suit to shreds of fabric, you see metal, gold metal forming around him. So it looks like he's also wearing some kind of metal armor under his suit.
Oh, it makes sense.
Protection of some kind. So I wonder now if that is what Khonshu was talking about and the healing properties of the suit. That also could have something to do with it as well.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah. He says the healing property. Oh, I'm totally sure. Yeah. Yeah. The protection and the healing
properties. But when I watched episode 2 again the other day before watching episode 3, I noticed that. I didn't even see that last time. Let me bring it up. Although I did not see any reference to WBN 32 this time, so I wonder if they're done doing that.
What, remind us what that is?
Werewolf by Night number 32, first appearance of Moon Knight.
Gotcha.
They did it in the first episode. Did it in the second episode. I didn't see it in the third one.
One thing I wanted to mention regarding Jake wearing a Chicago hat: do you think we're going to get a true representation of Jake? Or are we going to get a different version of him?
I think we're going to get, like I said earlier, I think we're going to get a violent, not quite killer kind of version, because we do see when he kills that guy, he's like, I didn't do it. Well, I didn't do it. So I have a feeling he's going to be more of a, he may be a snarky kind of fellow where he has underground knowledge and connections.
Okay.
But he might also be like, I'm not taking no for an answer. With the same reference, you notice if the guy holding the tie and he was trying to get the information from the kid that Mark Spector did not want to kill, because he will not kill kids or women. That's his own credo.
Okay.
And so the kid cuts the tie and then, in Ahmed's name, and cuts the tie and falls over. That was very reminiscent of the James Bond movie with Roger Moore, where the guy's holding Roger Moore's tie.
And
he's trying to get a question from him, and Roger Moore's like, I'm done. And
snaps
the tie, and the guy falls to his,
Good point. Good point.
I'm like, okay. Hey.
Let's head into phase four here. We're going to give our final thoughts and any next week's predictions, if any. Mm. That just sounds like a Infinity Stone farted. Just saying.
Well, popped.
Yeah. Okay. Kat, we kind of gave a little possible prediction about Jake here, but I wanted to get your final thoughts and any predictions that you might have for next week, if any.
Wow. Well, he's lost his power. I have a feeling next week's episode, in my opinion, is going to be them in Egypt. See, Harrow knows where Ahmet's tomb is, but doesn't know where her tomb is.
He knows the vicinity,
They know where her tomb is. So I have a feeling next week's episode is might be a little more Steven-related episode, because they're using that knowledge to find the tomb. So I have a feeling we're going to see more. This could be more of an Indiana Jones, Raid of the Lost Ark, looking for the Ark, as opposed to actually going to the Ark, you know what I mean? They're going going through talking to people. We may see a little more Jake, maybe. Like, maybe he had a buddy that he knows that's in Egypt that, hey, tell me where this is, or tell me who that has this. Maybe a little Mark. Whether or not we see the Moon Knight or Mr. Knight in this episode, I don't think we're going to. But I have some. We'll see a good fight scene, though, I'm sure, somewhere in this episode. But I don't think it's going to be the Moon Knight, though. And I think at the end, will be Mark trying to crush the statue of Khonshu to bring Khonshu back to get back his powers for episode 5 and 6.
I got to tell you. Okay, so we're going into episode 4 next, right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of like this idea of this stripped down version of Mark / Steven without the powers, because I think this will give them a chance to shine on their own without leaning on something to do things and using their knowledge, using their normal wits and stuff like that. And I think with the help of Layla, that's going to happen. Regarding Jake, I hope that we get Jake in this episode with Mark saying, look, I have this issue, DID, you know, multiple personality persona thing.
There's a third one.
Yes. There's a third one, by the way. I'm hoping, because Layla seems pretty understanding. And this is one of the things that really kind of stood out about her in this. But she's obviously a little perturbed at the end of this episode because she knows he's hiding something. Right. So that may danger, put a kibosh on things going very smoothly. But that's a good thing. That makes for good drama, I guess.
It does.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I do want to see a stripped down version of these guys without necessarily, like, I'll be honest with you, I'd be fine if I didn't see the Moon Knight suit come out in this next episode.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to. I think it's going to be all Mark / Steven with Layla.
Yes. Doing a good old fashioned, like, you know, treasure hunt, and let the humans do it. Leave the gods out.
Like a D&D game. This is the characters role playing before they go into the big fight.
And I think
they're getting up there.
I think this will be a great episode, episode 4, for Harrow to really kind of set his plan into motion.
Yeah. I don't think we'll see a lot of them, but I think it'll be definitely the scenes we do see.
I disagree. I think we will see more of Harrow because they've done a great job letting him have his moments and not just be this guy out on the fringe. He's kind of coming in. He's killing it literally each time in any of his scenes. But I think we will see more of him because he needs to set the stage for what he's going to do and, you know, put the rest of the good guys, so to speak, into peril.
Yeah, no, that is a good point. You might be right. I have a feeling I can foresee a fight in the Great Giza temple. Somehow I picture a fight happening in this episode.
We'll see. Yeah.
But, you know, again,
yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Definitely.
I can't wait.
All right, guys. Thank you guys for joining us for this episode of True Believers. We're discussing, of course, the new episode here of Moon Knight. And if you, like we mentioned earlier, please join our True Believers Marvel MCU podcast fandom group. And also please subscribe to the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube, because these episodes get put up there and you can watch them and make fun of how we look and act. So there you go.
I have a very easy place to laugh at. Turn
back time.
I found the mute button.
Yeah. Please join us on YouTube and please subscribe so you get that notification when our episodes drop. Our master feed for all of our audio podcasts can be found on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. And of course, the Fandom Podcast Network is on all major podcast platforms. Fandom Podcast Network is also on Facebook. You can email us, fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are also Fandom Podcast Network is also on Twitter and Instagram. Kyle, you can find him on Twitter at AKyleW and on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kat, where can we find you on social media?
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all at StaticCat1. Pretty easy to find me.
Awesome.
If you really want to find me, look for Kevin's feeds. And then you'll see me somewhere. That's the easiest way to find me.
Sounds weird, but yeah, it's true. My name is Kevin. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. And hey, there's two ways you can support us, by the way. We'd love your support. head on over to our T Public store, search Fandom Podcast Network, and you get your cool Fandom Podcast Network show logo put on your favorite apparel. I'm right now wearing my True Believers t-shirt.
I love one.
Yeah, go on there. And by the way, they're always having great sales on TeePublic. I signed up for text messages, 30% off everything. It's great. So that drops those t-shirts down. It drops anything else that you want down. It's awesome. Make sure you check that out. And please, reviews on Apple Podcast, iTunes, or your preferred podcast platform. Just search Fandom Podcast Network and then mention True Believers saying, I love True Believers. That cat is awesome on Moon Knight.
We want and to Hawkeye.
See. Yeah. But we don't want to see Kat making up different accounts each time and leaving good reviews. We want to see new reviews from people. Okay.
I have three accounts. Can I use all three?
I would like to thank my guest and one of my oldest friends, Kat. Thank you so much for coming on another episode of Moon Knight. We'll see you next week.
Dude, so honored. Thank you for having me, bud.
Just as a reminder, by the way, Kyle will be back next week, but I probably won't be. The reason for that is I'm getting married in Vegas in a couple weeks, but we're going to be busy doing some stuff, and I'm going to be picking up my fiance, and going to be doing a whole bunch of stuff, and Kat's going to be coming out to my wedding in Vegas in a couple weeks, so we're looking forward to that. So I will not be here, but Kat will be here making fun of me with Kyle. So you make sure you check in and tune out to that. Is that right, Kat?
That won't be difficult at all. I mean, yes, that is correct.
Thank you, guys. And thank you for our special guest, Kat. Thank you, everyone. And please don't forget, like I said, next week, come back for episode 49. We'll be discussing episode 4 of Moon Knight. Thank you for joining us here again for another episode of Fandom Podcast Network's True Believers, a Marvel MCU podcast. And you know, real quick, Kat, before we go, Kyle usually gives me Excelsior points. I'm going to give you 20 Excelsior points. What do you want to spend with it real quick, Kat? Kyle's not here. Get whatever you want with 20. He normally gives me like 3 or 5, and I have to kind of nickel and dime him for that. So I'm giving you 20. What do you want?
I'll take the goose to cat, please.
With the goose the cat. Nice call. You want the flurkin. Understood.
I want the flurkin.
Well, Nick Fury will be happy about that. All right. I'm
sure. He won't lose an eye over it. That's for sure.
Goose the cat. The 20 Excelsior points going to cat. All right. Neener, neener, Kyle. Anyway, thank you again, guys, for joining us. Please come back next week. Kat, thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
My pleasure, man. Thank you.
All right, guys. Let's get on out of here. Excelsior!